On today's episode of Locked On Raptors, we begin a series of shows examining the greatest heartbreaks in various Toronto Raptors fans' time being fans of the Toronto Raptors. And today we get things started with Orin Weisfeld of Complex, Yahoo Sports Canada, and more, talking about the day DeMar DeRozan was traded. Of course, a happy moment in hindsight, in a way, considering what it led to. But at the time, lots of folks were sad about the news, and Orin was one of them. We'll talk about that on today's special edition of Locked On Raptors. Thanks for being here.
Oh, like, because when I shot, I expected to make it. So, like, I don't shoot kind of miss.
You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Canada, the NBA title is yours.
We're going to the first time of the Hail Mary 3 by Mo Pete.
Get that garbage out of here.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to episode number 1226 of Locked On Raptors for Tuesday, August the 2nd. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter as always, at WoodleySean. You can find the show at Locked On Raptors, and you can follow, subscribe to, rate, review the podcast on all your favorite podcast apps for the low, low price of free. You can also go and subscribe to the YouTube channel for free as well. It's much appreciated when you support the show over there. Helps build the numbers and stroke my ego, which is the best thing you can possibly do to help support the show. Thanks as always for making us your first listen of the day, and thanks for being here for the beginning of our greatest Raptors heartbreak series of episodes. I'm recording this all the way back in late July, as I've tried to pre-can some stuff. I'm away on my honeymoon as we speak, and so I just wanted to get some evergreen stuff recorded, and this felt like a pretty good way to do it, considering, you know, the Raptors have been pretty good for a very long time. There hasn't been too much sadness, but it's always fun to be sad in a group. That's what being a sports fan is all about, and so we are going to dive this week into various Raptors heartbreaks that left my guests feeling very, very sad, and we kick things off today with Orin Weisfeld from Complex, from Yahoo Sports, from literally the whole internet, just taking over the world. We love to see it. Orin, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Sean. Thanks for having me. And I think this is a good project for a lot of reasons. And one of them is that Raptors fans have gotten too spoiled. That was something that I've noticed a lot over the last calendar year or so. And so it's good to take them back to the worst moments in franchise history so they can just, you know, once this show is back done with and you get back to doing whatever preseason content, they'll realize just how fortunate we are right now.
Yeah, and like, honestly, part of the enjoyment of being a fan of a team is kind of riding through the sad parts, and it becomes part of your fandom tale and informs everything that happens. It makes the successes feel all that much better. So ultimately, all these heartbreaks are kind of in service of something greater, you would hope. And in this case, today, very much was exactly that. So let's first begin with the introduction of your greatest Raptors heartbreak. I spoiled it in the cold open, but I'll let you detail now. Orin, what is your greatest Raptors heartbreak and why?
LeBron is like a tidal wave, spinning over my head. A dozen putback misses and a brick by Fred. In order to become winners, had to trade beloved Double D. First round sweep by the Wizards after Paul Pierce blocked Kyle Lowry. You're a heartbreaker, dream shaker, Dwayne Casey, don't you mess around with me. You're a heartbreaker, Vince Trader, Boggs Taker, don't you mess around, Colangelo.
So my greatest Raptors heartbreak is finding out that DeMar DeRozan was traded. Obviously, the return was not bad, a guy named Kawhi Leonard, and we'll get into all that. But just the shock of DeMar getting traded was kind of that day, and the few days after that was just hard for me because DeMar was my favorite player. And you know, I only got into basketball in high school. I was like a soccer fan growing up, and when I got into basketball, obviously it was the DeMar Kyle teams. And for like a novice, DeMar was clearly the more exciting of the two. Like,
right.
You start to appreciate, my cat's here, you start to appreciate Kyle's little, like, nicks and crannies and all the little things he does the more you watch. But DeMar was obviously the exciting one, the guy dunking over people, the guy at the end of the game who the ball was always in his hands, doing crazy stuff and just, like, figuring out ways to win games. And so, like, I really fell in love with DeMar on the court. I thought everything he did off the court was really inspirational in terms of all the just opening up about some of his mental health problems and, like, at a time when athletes weren't doing that. I think DeMar's, like, it really gets lost in the shuffle, maybe partly because he was in Canada, partly because over on the Cavs, what's his name? Kevin Love kind of followed it up, and his, I think, went a little more mainstream. But DeMar was the first guy to really open up about his struggles. And now you see athletes all over in every sport kind of doing something similar. So, yeah, he was like an idol of mine on the court, off the court. And so finding out he was traded at a point in my basketball fandom where I didn't realize just how, like, rough the NBA was and how unforgiving it was.
Right.
Was really shocking and sad for a little while. And honestly, like, it wasn't sad for that long. I got to be honest. Right. Like, once Kawhi came and started playing, I was like, oh, this makes sense.
Yeah. I feel like the moment where most Raptors fans were like, all right, fine, I'm on board, was the double block with him and Danny Green in that second Celtics game. Like, it was the second game of the season against the Celtics. And I think it was Jason Tatum that they double blocked. And it was like, oh yeah, okay. I get it now. Yeah. We'll buckle in for this. I guess we'll watch Kawhi Leonard and be okay with it. But yeah, you know, I don't think I quite had the same level of heartbreak when DeMar got dealt, just because I was a Kyle guy myself. If you had to pick between the two, not that there was ever a moment where, you know, there was like a, is it Kyle or DeMar team or anything. It was always kind of the two guys in a union leading the charge. But if I had to pick one, it was always going to be Kyle for me. But I love DeMar too. Like, really was just such a fantastic player to watch. And that season before he got dealt was the best DeMar we ever saw, right? You know, he had some crazy runs in there. What was the start of the season? He had like a Michael Jordan level record of 30-point games to begin the year. It was awesome. You know, big moments. He had the 52 against the Bucks on New Year's Day. That was all just game, like, it was incredible to watch him just sort of continue the thing that we'd always said. And now it's kind of mirrored, I think, in Pascal Siakam a lot of ways. Like, every year he got better at something. Yeah. And it just kind of built and amplified onto one another until they all stacked into this one incredible player who became good enough to trade for Kawhi Leonard. But yeah, it didn't quite hit me as hard. I think once I saw the return and like what the Raptors had to send out, I think that's where, you know, any heartbreak kind of quickly washed away, because it was like, they didn't trade OG. They didn't trade Pascal. They only traded Yak. I love Yak, but like, Yak in a first, it's protected. All right. I guess the heartbreak is going to wash away pretty quickly here. And I think for me, any sort of uncertain feelings that Kawhi was going to come and play for the Raptors that honestly washed away the second we saw like the weird grainy photo with him and Bobby Webster. You know, didn't say anything, right? But just to see him in a room with Bobby Webster made me think like, okay, at least he's going to be here for the year. And I wasn't too worried about the sort of bigger implications of, you know, is he going to leave at the end of the season or anything like that. Do you remember at the time sort of how you felt in the lead up to all the Kawhi rumors? I know on this very podcast, I said like 2 weeks before the trade, they should run it back because they're not going to get a guy like Kawhi Leonard. So why not just run it back? And then they got a guy like Kawhi Leonard and made that look very stupid. But where were you at in terms of like the run it back versus not trade DeMar, not trade DeMar? It didn't really even seem like that much of a conversation because they had fired Dwayne Casey, and that kind of felt a lot of ways like, okay, that's the move they're going to make this offseason to try to refresh things going into next year.
Exactly. And I also think like player movement in terms of star movement wasn't as normal as it is now back then. Right. Like now we really see a lot of stars every summer. They're getting moved. Back then, I feel like it wasn't nearly as much. And you kind of figured they would reshuffle some of the deck, like in terms of the role players. and change some stuff around Kyle and DeMar, but I didn't think that they were going to do anything drastic. And like, they were coming off a sweep, and I definitely felt like, okay, nothing that happens in the regular season matters, because they just had like the best regular season in franchise history and got swept. So all I'm really caring about is the playoffs, but I didn't expect Kyle or DeMar to get traded. I don't really remember much about where I was on the Kawhi Leonard stuff, just because it was such a weird situation. I don't even know if we knew he was for sure going to get traded. Mm-hmm. But I, as I was telling you before, like, I started blogging for Raptors Republic in 2018. And one of the first pieces I ever wrote was called "The Raptors Should Never Trade DeMar DeRozan." Reading it back, it's terrible. Like, just didn't know how to write it back.
Give us some passages, if you will, please.
Oh, God. For some reason, I decided to start it out with talking about Kobe's 81-point game. Kind of being like, things were really bad back then. We might have just got swept, but they're not this bad. And then being like, basically, like, I was trying to explain that what you said, he's gotten better every single year. He was still young enough. And as we've seen with his, he literally just had a season with Chicago where he was like a top five MVP candidate for most of the year. Like, DeMar has continued to get better every year. And so a big part of it was that, just that, like, yes, he has these playoff struggles, but I think he's going to keep getting better. A big part of it was the leadership aspect, and just the way that you could see the Kyle and DeMar stuff rubbing off on the young guys, and that being a really good recipe for the culture and for the development of young players. I think, like, those are the main things. I can't really read a passage because I haven't gone through it, so I don't know which one to do. But and then the other thing was, like, yeah, like the mental health stuff, which I mentioned. I thought that was really cool. And also, like, he wanted to re-sign in Toronto. He was drafted by the Raptors. All that stuff, you know, was just something that I admired. Like, And we can get into how my basketball philosophy has changed a little bit since then, but I was just like a sucker for, like, look, this is a really nice story. Let's run it back and, like, keep going, because this guy wants to be here. There's not a lot of people who have historically wanted to be here. He's still getting better. And then in terms of Kawhi, even, like, I didn't like accept it as quickly as you, because I was like, if they don't win a championship and he leaves in a year, then we just got rid of this franchise player in DeMar DeRozan for essentially nothing. Right. And that's kind of how I felt up until the playoffs when, you know what, really up until the 76ers game winner. Yeah. Because that was such a huge moment that it was like, even if we don't win a championship, this is worth it. Absolutely. This is a moment we'll remember forever.
Sure. Yeah, that's a really good point. Maybe I'm like retconning my ghoulishness or something like that, looking back at it. But no, I do think that for me, it did feel a little bit like, okay, they got swept again. If they are going to make some changes, it has to be for a substantial upgrade, number one, for me to be cool with it. But also, like, I didn't want to see them go and like tank it or anything like that, because that would have sucked after watching 7 years of excellent basketball. But I did, I think, kind of talk myself into the idea that, okay, maybe this has run its course, and this is just like the upsetting move you have to make to try to, you know, have one last effort for it. Because if it doesn't work out by the end of next year, they're probably done anyway, and they're moving on and sort of going into a rebuild or a retooling or whatever. I do have a passage, the last paragraph of your piece here. Just this is from June 30th, 2018, 19 days before the trade, from Oren Weisfeld. People often say there's no loyalty in sports. DeRozan would disagree. Now the Raptors have the power to prove DeRozan right. No matter what trajectory Masai Ujiri decides to take this Raptors team, DeRozan is an invaluable asset that will help the team win games while maintaining a strong culture admired throughout the league. If that's not enough for the Raptors to keep DeRozan, what is? I love it when blogs don't age very well. it's literally every blog I've ever written. This is not exclusive to you. I love it. Thank you for being okay with me reading that on the pod. We're going to continue on and dive into the moment where the poetry of this whole thing really came together, which was the DeMar return to Toronto, and the steal between Kawhi and Kyle Lowry at the end of that game to, I think, maybe sort of put the imprint on, oh yeah, that's why you make this trade. We'll get to that in just 1 second here, but first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Built Bar, who are making the best tasting protein bars in the world, and they also now have marshmallow puffs, and they are fantastic, and they're good for you. They give the illusion of having some sort of decadent treat, when actually you're getting some pretty good stuff for you in the delicious packaging of a brownie puff. Sorry, that is a coconut brownie chunk puff. I should give it the proper nomenclature. They're fantastic. They have collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. You can eat something that tastes good and is good for you. And the best part about Built Puffs is, of course, that they are amazing. You can put them on the go. You can bring them in your golf bag. You can take them in your backpack to your meeting or whatever it might be. They're versatile. They can fill in for a meal. They can be a nighttime snack. If you're like me and you're a bit of a late night snacker who is always looking for something around midnight, this can be a great alternative to the bag of chips I will house to my face tonight. So I got to get myself some Built Bars instead. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. That's the promo code LOCKED15. Get your box of coconut brownie chunk puffs today. All right, we continue on here with our look at Orrin Weisfeld's greatest Raptors heartbreak, the trade of DeMar DeRozan to the San Antonio Spurs in exchange for one Kawhi Leonard. Let's move it forward a little bit from the trade and the start of the season and get into February as DeMar DeRozan makes his long-awaited return to Toronto with the San Antonio Spurs. I remember watching this game in a Hudson's, a bar in Red Deer, Alberta, when I was calling broadcasting for the 2019 Canada Winter Games. It was like minus 45 degrees outside. It was unbelievable, but I needed to watch this game with people around because I thought it was going to be an emotional exercise. And it was. So DeMar returns. It's a close game, and it comes down to the final possession. DeMar's walking the ball up the floor. I think the Spurs are leading by one at the time. DeMar's walking it up. Kawhi and Kyle converge, get the steal, and they go on and score a bucket and win the game. This was emotionally hefty, I would say, Orrin. As someone who was heartbroken by the original trade, what was your reaction to watching DeMar get stripped by Kyle and Kawhi at center court and just like the poetry of all that coming together? Did that hit you particularly hard? Did you feel for DeMar, or was that maybe like a moment of closure on the trade and being like, okay, maybe this was the right move?
Yeah, I think I started to feel like, objectively speaking, that it was the right move before that, because they were winning a lot of games. And
yeah,
this was just a moment where I felt bad for DeMar, to be honest with you. Like,
it sucked, man.
It was brutal. So sad. He was, you know, like, he was on the floor, right? As they like got this steal, he's lying there. Kawhi goes and dunks the ball and pretty much like ends it. So I just felt bad for DeMar is what I remember. And then it was also a moment where it's like, okay, this team's really good. Like, they're just finding ways to win every game at the end of the games, even when they're down.
Yeah.
Like, there's something about, you know, it was also, we had seen it a couple times before from Kawhi, but it was just like, when you have that guy, you're pretty comfortable in those moments where you're down one and there's a minute to go, but you have the best player on the floor and he's going to somehow find ways to win. And like, that was a great example of him doing that. So it was a little bit of both, I think. Like, I wish I was at that game. I feel like it would have been really emotional if I was at the game, but I was just watching on TV. And yeah, I just remember kind of feeling bad for DeMar and kind of feeling good as a Raptors fan, but definitely mixed emotions, like the whole thing.
Yeah, for sure. If you ever want to get real sad, if you're ever in your feelings and just kind of want to double down on it, just go to a Getty or USA Today image gallery and search the date. I think it was like February 15th or something, February 18th, or whenever the hell it was, 2018 or 19. Find that date and search like Raptors Spurs and just look at the photos from the end of that game of DeMar, and you know, you'll just sit there and wallow. It's very good. Maybe throw on some sad music, a little Phoebe Bridgers or something, and you'll be off and running if you're feeling like stewing in your own feelings.
Yeah, I wrote this story for Slam about like some iconic photos in Raptors history, and one of them was Kyle and DeMar embracing for his first time as a Spur. Yeah. And it was just one of those like emotional moments. Like both of them were just like, Kyle just stole the ball. DeMar just lost the game. And they were just both like, you could tell there was just so much emotion in the building. And it was a really good photograph for that reason. But it was, to your point, there are some good photos.
In hindsight, do you ever think about that season? Not that the Raptors are the protagonists of reality or anything like that. But when you look back at that season, it's like, I don't know if you're trying to convince someone that sports are actually fake and that everything is wrestling. That season might be the one that you'd be like, all right, so this team, they're going to trade away their franchise icon for a guy who doesn't want to be there. They're going to win a bunch of games. There's going to be some, there's going to be rifts. There's going to be some stuff going on throughout the season. They're going to make a big trade for a Hall of Fame center who's going to tie everything together. They're going to have this moment with DeMar DeRozan to sort of put the bow on that narratively at center court for all to see in his return to Toronto. They're going to go to the postseason. DJ Augustine's going to hit a game-winning three in the opening game of the playoffs over Marc Gasol and Kawhi Leonard, two defensive players of the year. That's going to be like the thing that throws everyone into a panic for this team that kept on losing game ones in the years prior. Then they're going to have a killer series against the Sixers. It's going to go seven. They're going to have this unbelievable historic shot that's going to be played for the rest of time. Then after that, they're going to play the Bucks. They're going to get to a game three. Kyle Lowry's going to foul out with 6 minutes left. They're going to barely hang on and win. They're going to go and win four straight games. And they're going to go shut down Oracle Arena as Kevin Durant and his return from the Achilles and the eventual Achilles tear and all of that hangs over the entire series like a giant sword waiting to fall. And then they're going to win the title. Like, that is some ridiculously on-the-nose writing if you're the NBA writers, I think. No? What a ridiculous season.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was poetic for sure, especially like the 76ers shot is one of the most iconic shots in basketball history.
Yeah,
and there were so many moments that Kawhi really felt like a superhero where he didn't feel like a player at all, and it felt like it was inevitable. The only reason I would push back on the idea that it was like a made for Hollywood story was because the NBA finals, like, we don't have to get too deep into this, but like, there was a dark cloud hanging over that finals between
the messy ass finals.
Exactly. Clay's injury, you had KD's injury, and then you had Masai Ujiri getting stopped by the police, like, getting harassed. Like, those three things really put this like ugly ending to it in my eyes.
Sure.
But up until then, it was definitely like written for the movies. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Wild stuff. We're going to come back on the other side and we're going to dig into the idea of, you know, how your philosophy has changed since this happened. And it's kind of timely considering there's another disgruntled superstar out there that the Raptors are rumored to potentially be wanting to get, with some beloved players potentially going the other way. So it seems to fit, hoping that by the time this airs, Kevin Durant hasn't been traded. I'm assuming he won't have been, but we'll get to that in just 1 second. Just a reminder, though, that you can listen to Locked On NBA every single day, or right now, three times a week, as they carry you through the week with an amazing set of analysis and conversation, big picture, little picture. All of it is covered on Locked On NBA. Be sure to subscribe for free on your favorite podcast apps and on YouTube. All right, Oren. So what's now? We're 4 years free. Oh my God, 4 years since the trade happened. It feels like it's been 25. And it's ridiculous that we're talking about this as like back then, when it really does feel like back then. The concept of sort of your changing basketball philosophy, you're now pretty seasoned in covering the team. You're around the team a lot in a way that maybe you weren't back in 2018-19. And, you know, things change. Your viewpoints on things change. And I would imagine that watching the Raptors win a title with Kawhi Leonard probably changed everybody's view on how things work in the NBA a little bit. I don't know how it couldn't. So for you, how you mentioned off the top that it's kind of informed your philosophy or changed your philosophy, or you have changed your philosophy since this all happened. How has it changed when it comes to the idea of superstar movement and player loyalty and things like that? And I guess if we want to tie in the Kevin Durant stuff, where does that leave you feeling when it comes to a potential Kevin Durant trade and what the Raptors would have to part with to make it happen?
Yeah, there's a lot to say on this topic. But I think it's not just the DeMar DeRozan for Kawhi Leonard But also, like you said, being around the team more as a writer rather than a fan, like all of these things have changed the way I look at things, I think. Mm-hmm. But it really started with the DeRozan trade for sure, where I've stopped getting too attached to players right. in like a romantic sense, because I know that front offices don't think that way, I think.
Sure.
And so maybe it's not healthy as a fan to think that way, because you could be burned for it. And I was burned for it. And I guess I don't want to, you know, like fool me once, shame on me kind of thing. Fool me twice. Like, I'm not a trusting person. So like, I'm not going to do that to myself again. So part of it is that, because I see there's like a huge, huge subset of Raptors Twitter is like, this is the core. Let's ride out the core. Let's see how far the core can go. And when they talk about the core, they talk about like a 6-player group. And to mm-hmm. me, that's like a little bit ridiculous in terms of like, you can't expect this core to stay together for many years. It's just not realistic. Like mm-hmm. things happen and I just haven't grown attached to this core in the same way that I think a lot of people have, because I feel like realistically, if we're looking at like history and the context and all these things, I feel like odds are a trade is probably coming. And mm-hmm. that these guys are not all going to stay together past these contracts, for example. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. When it comes to like my philosophy regarding Kawhi and KD, it just, you know, again, to go back, I was one of those people who said like either DeMar or Kyle, they'll become the guy. Like they will eventually become a guy who can lead your team to a championship. And that was proven wrong. Like even DeMar's best season with the Bulls, he wasn't that guy. Kyle's never been that guy. And we see the same thing with Scottie Barnes and Pascal Siakam. People say, you know what? These guys could grow into the number one option on a championship team. And I'm not debating that. They absolutely could. And I think those two guys, like considering how young Barnes is and considering how close Pascal is, that's completely reasonable to think those things, but it's not guaranteed. And sure. so my philosophy has changed in the sense where when I look at Kevin Durant, he is that guy. Like he's proven to be the guy. And when you can get that guy, you do it. That's right. just my philosophy now. It's like whatever it takes to get that type of player, you do it, because there's only 5 to 10 of them in the world. And as much as you can like your homegrown players and believe in their ability to get there, odds are against them doing that. And so these like Kevin Durant becoming available for 4 years on a contract is so rare that the mm-hmm. idea that people will scoff at the trading some of your future for him is just ridiculous to me. Like I love OG, you know, I love a lot of these guys, but if it's Kevin Durant or run it back, I'm choosing Kevin Durant. And that might sound like harsh, but mm-hmm. like, It is harsh because of what's happened in the past. You know, I've learned from my mistakes, and I've grown bitter in my old age.
I did not think that when I asked you what your greatest Raptors heartbreak was, that we'd be getting deep into like deep therapy. But I'm glad that we have. This has been therapeutic, I'm sure.
not bad. See, it's funny. For a morning.
Yeah, it's funny because like I think honestly, my view on it has kind of gone the opposite direction in that.
Right.
Like I've seen the Raptors win a title now and they did it because they sold their souls to do it. And it was awesome. And I wouldn't go back and change it, but I'm all right to chill right now. And I think as we've gotten further and further away from the hype of the original KD trade demand, and as we kind of stare down the barrel of this being a long game of chicken between Sean Marks and the rest of the NBA, I think I'm talking myself more into the idea of the core and just seeing what can happen, because there is no real duress to me right now for the Raptors. Like, they just won a title. I know this is not how the front office thinks, and so maybe I'm a mark who's just setting myself up to be hurt again, but I like the idea of, okay, they've done the ghoulish thing to win the title. Now just do the thing where you just slow build it, and if at some point down the line you need to go and make some sort of sell your soul move to win a title because it's just not working, then fine, but I don't think we know just yet if that's even going to happen. There's a world in which Scottie Barnes becomes the guy, and then you're sitting there looking at a really long run of successful, awesome basketball that you've gotten to watch, And there's something very valuable to the, in that to me. And honestly, I would recommend, Oren, open yourself up to be hurt again, baby. It's kind of what it's all about, man. It's about being sad in a group. That's what sports are for. And if you get yourself attached to guys who end up getting moved, yeah, that sucks. But it is kind of like a transactional version of a heartbreaking playoff loss to whatever team you want. Like, I feel like that all kind of informs the fan conversation a little bit. At least that's just my... No, there's no right way to be a fan, obviously. But that's kind of how I view it. And I think opening yourself up to being hurt when a guy gets dealt is actually good for the soul, is what my argument would be there. And, you know, I think maybe that's just a way that you sort of steel yourself and expect to be hurt, and you know that it's going to come at some point when you kind of, you know, jump in and kind of know the deal. But I think my sort of view on, like, big time go win now moves has certainly changed, because the Raptors have won a title in my lifetime now. I'm not so worried about when the next one comes, because I've already gotten to experience that one and it was pretty rad. I would like to see it again, but I'm not in like some crazy rush where I need it to be like now. I need instant satisfaction, which is why I'm kind of cooling a little bit on the KD idea. But like, again, I don't think it's wrong to take the other stance either. Everyone has their different intentions getting into this thing. But yeah, open yourself up, baby.
No, yeah, I think that's a good point. I think a lot of people probably share that sentiment where it's like, we won a championship, there's no need to rush it. But I would argue that, like, it's not selling your soul in the same way.
Sure.
And the say they made a trade for Kevin Durant, but it was still Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam, right? Mm-hmm. And those are your 2 and 3 options. Like, that would still feel really good to see those guys reach that stage, because last time it wasn't, they weren't like the guys the way they are right now. It was more Kyle, right? Mm-hmm. So I think, like, you still get to feel some of that homegrown development getting you there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, yeah, you are sacrificing some of your homegrown talent for a guy. I just think, like, even if it's not Kevin Durant, look at the history, like, it's going to happen at some point. Other than the Golden State Warriors, every team has kind of sold their soul in a sense, or leveraged their future. When you look at, like, the Bucks making the trade for, you know, the point guard, Drew Holiday, like the Lakers leveraging everything for Anthony Davis. I just feel like it's more common than not that it happens. And it's really romantic to think that, like, Precious and all these guys are going to keep taking steps, and eventually they're going to reach the pinnacle, but I don't think that's realistic. So that does sound really cold and calculated. I get that. Mm-hmm. But I just think, like, yeah, it's partly because of the Debo stuff. It's partly because of just covering this team more closely. I think more so along the lines of, like, what is going to get them to a championship most quickly. Right. And that's kind of sad, but say they do that and it doesn't go right, then you get another kind of rebuild or retool, and that this is fun too. Like, I'm not saying this isn't fun. It's just like, once this team proves that they're kind of ready, or Pascal and Fred prove that they're ready, I think you owe them taking a leap and giving them a real opportunity to contend for a championship, rather than like them having to bring all of these young guys along and just keep waiting, kind of thing.
I guess it just depends on, like, how much you believe Scottie Barnes is going to become that dude and how quickly, right? Because, like, I agree that it's probably pretty fraught with all sorts of despair to look at a team and say, well, these guys can internally grow and become a championship-level team. But I kind of think it's not crazy with this specific Raptors team because of how good Scottie Barnes is. And maybe the romanticism is a lot to strive for, and it's a very ambitious potential outcome. But when you have Scottie Barnes in your team, I think you're allowed that wiggle room for ambition, because he was so bloody good as a rookie. He has so much to him that you typically see in these types of sort of apex predator guys. Like, I think there's at least a reasonable hope to wish on there, where maybe there wasn't ever with DeMar DeRozan or Kyle Lowry becoming those guys individually. I don't think Pascal Siakam, as much as he's unbelievable and is like my second favorite Raptor of all time behind Kyle, I don't think he's ever going to be like the number one on a championship team necessarily. But if he's the number two to Scottie Barnes as number one, I actually think that's a pretty viable pathway forward. Even if it does ask a lot of Scottie Barnes, I think it's okay to ask a lot of what Scotty Barnes can be, because the first year was so bloody impressive. Any last thoughts on that before we round this thing out?
No, I definitely hope you're right. Like, to to me, I mean, I sound like cold, but I agree with you that that's
it's okay, the man. The trauma of the DeRozan trade broke you. It's fine. It's okay.
Yeah, I clearly like don't recover from trauma quickly. It takes me a long time to get over things. But that is the ideal outcome from a Raptors fan perspective. I hope that they can keep it together and win with this group. That would definitely be an ideal outcome. But I think people should be also open to the idea of, okay, if things stall out over the next year or two, and say, sure, for example, their half-court offense continues to be such a problem that in the playoffs you can't justify running back this group, like, open up to the idea of getting, of bringing a different type of player in here. Sure. Because sometimes that's just necessary to take the next step. And while it's mean to whoever goes out the door, it's kind of helping the people who stayed, like a Kyle Lowry, like getting him to that championship. He lost his best friend in the process, but he won a championship. So yeah, it's a yin and yang there for sure.
Absolutely. Oren, this was awesome, man. I really appreciate you taking the time, and I'm looking very much forward to recording more of these and drudging up my other guest's trauma from the past. It's going to be great.
yeah, so, now you're realizing that you get to be a therapist for like...
Yeah, I didn't realize what I had tapped into when I came up with this concept, but boy, oh boy, it's going on my resume. Oren, thanks so much, man. Where can people check out all your awesome work? Anything in particular you'd like to promote? Again, this is coming out August the 2nd, so look into the future, perhaps.
Yeah, not exactly sure what will be happening then, but you can follow me on Twitter at Oren Weisfeld, O-R-E-N-W-E-I-S-F-E-L-D, and you can keep up with, I post all my work there, so that's definitely the best place. But yeah, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. It was fun to get this off my chest after all these years. And yeah, have a great honeymoon.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. And appreciate you popping on. And we will wrap it there. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back again. I think tomorrow will be the next episode. And we're going to do another Raptors heartbreak, talking with Yasmin Duwala about Game 7 against the Boston Celtics in the bubble, which for me is one of my greater ones. That one sucked, man. We will talk about that and the championship defense that could have been with Yasmin on tomorrow's show. So you have that to look forward to. Thank you very much for tuning in. Go make your second listen of the day. Locked On Blue Jays, as the Blue Jays, maybe they've just traded. It's August 2nd. They just traded for Luis Castillo, I bet. So go and watch or listen to Locked On Blue Jays as they break down the Luis Castillo trade that's definitely happening. It will be really awesome if I called that. We're going to wrap it there. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.